Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Don't already have our mobile app, you can download it from the App Store free of charge. And up there, we actually have some sermon notes that you can fill in the blank and follow along with as well. But in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 22 is this powerful story. And this is what it says. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias, here I am, Lord," he replied. "Get up and go to the street called Straight." And the Lord said to him, "To the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go. For this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And at once, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. And then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. And immediately, Saul, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were astounded and said, "Isn't this the man in Jerusalem who was causing havoc for those who called on this name and came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. We build bridges, not walls. Tell the person beside you, we build bridges, not walls. I want you to get comfortable with the neighbor that you're sitting next to. You're going to talk to them. That's what we do in our church. We talk. We build bridges, not walls. Last week, we talked about how we focus on Jesus. One of the scriptures that I shared was out of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about the difference between the wise and the foolish person. The wise person builds their life on Jesus. The foolish person builds their life not on Jesus, but on the things of this world, which is the equivalent of building their life on sand. And the thing that we asked was, what are you building your life on? Is it built on Jesus, or is it built on the things of this world? But just as we are building our lives on something, we are also building things in life that can either help somebody become who God has called them to be or hinder someone from becoming who God has called them to be. That we can be building things in life that will either help people get somewhere or keep people from getting somewhere. That we're building things in life where we're building things where people can experience a release in their life, or we're building in such of a way where they remain in bondage. The question that I want us all to wrestle with today is, how am I building my life? And how am I building in life? Am I building bridges in life? And obviously, as you know, a bridge is something that connects people to another place or another location. It allows people to travel to another destination. Are we building bridges or are we building walls? Because building walls essentially keeps things and keeps people from being able to enter in from a certain place. It brings forth a place of restriction. Building bridges leads to a place of release. Building walls leads to a place of restriction. How are you and I building? What kind of builders are you? I don't know if y'all have heard of that show, Bob the Builder. Y'all heard that show? Some of you guys who are kids, you know about that show, Bob the Builder. One of the things that's always fascinating about Bob the Builder is he's always building things. But he's always building things that help people. that help his little friends. How are you building your life? Are you building it on Jesus, but also are you building it in a way that helps other people experience the power of Jesus? How are you building your life? This chapter is this account of this man's life who was radically changed. Here in Acts chapter 9, you see this amazing account who's talking about this guy by the name of Saul who was radically changed by Jesus forever. And in case you're new to this, you don't know anything about this guy by the name of Saul, earlier in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, you see Saul who is on his way, he's on the Damascus road, he's on his way to a place to go and arrest Christians. Paul despised Christians in this first century context. Paul was a believer in Judaism. He did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. He did not believe that Jesus was Lord. He did not believe that Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He did not believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. He did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So he looked at anybody who did as heresy, and he would do everything in his power to arrest Christians and to give the execution order for them to be killed. As a matter of fact, previously in chapter 8 and at the end of chapter 7, the Bible talks about how there was a guy by the name of Stephen who was being stoned to death. And then it says, then there was a young man named Saul who was there giving consent. It was the same Saul. In other words, Saul was a first century terrorist to the Christian church. He hated Christians. If Saul found out we were having this gathering in first century context, he would gather as much people as possible to come and to arrest us and to lead us to execution. Paul despised Christians. He hated Christians. He was a terrorist, y'all. He was literally going around ruining people's lives because of their faith in the one true king named Jesus. He was somebody who was very astute in Jewish law, and he hated you if you called on the name of Jesus. He hated you if you were associated with the name of Jesus. But as Saul was on his way to go find some more Christians to arrest, out of nowhere, as you see in Acts chapter 9, in the early part, verses 1 through 9, he has this amazing, incredible, unthinkable experience. He is literally on his horse, and Jesus meets him on the road and literally knocks him off his horse. And the Bible says that there was this great white light that surrounded Saul to the point where it was blinding. And now what happens is Jesus, out of nowhere, begins to speak to him. He says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul can't see. He can't make out what's happening right now. He can't make out this crazy phenomenon, this crazy life-changing experience. And he says, Lord, who exactly are you? He says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. I'm Jesus, the one that you've been trying to stop. I'm Jesus, the one that you have been running from. I'm Jesus, the one that you've been trying to silence. But I want you to know, Saul, today, that no matter how much you try to silence me, there is nothing that you can do to stop me. And it is also a picture of the love of Jesus, that Jesus will meet you in the middle of your mess while you are on your way to doing something grimy, while you are on your way to doing something that is outside of the will of God, because he loves you so much, he will meet you in the middle of it. Y'all know that some of that stuff has happened in your life for those of us who are following Jesus. You were on your way to a place that you had no business being, and all of a sudden you got a flat tire. You were on your way to respond with a crazy text message, to just lash out in anger and to lash out with crazy cuss words and all these type of things, and for some reason the text message would not go through. You thought that was a Sprint issue? Sprint got some service issues, but that ain't Sprint, that's Jesus. Jesus has a way of meeting us on our Damascus road. He has a way of meeting us in the middle of our mess. He has a way of meeting us as we're on our way to a path of destruction. And thank God that he meets us right where we are to intercept us as we are on a path of sin, as we're on a path of brokenness. Thank God that he is such a good and perfect and loving Savior that he says, I love you too much to let you go down this path. And I know right now, Saul, you don't care nothing about me, but I want you to know that I care absolutely a whole lot about you, that I will meet you where you are. But it's interesting because that happens in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. He has this encounter with Jesus. But later on, there was somebody that Jesus used to bring forth this transformation, this change in Saul's life. And his name was Ananias. That after you see Saul get knocked off his horse and have this crazy, unbelievable experience where he doesn't even know what's going on, in the first part of Acts chapter 9, Jesus now appears to this guy in a vision by the name of Ananias, and he tells Ananias, hey bro, I got an assignment for you. I want you to go to Tarsus, and I want you to find a man by the name of Saul. He's blind, and I want you to pray over him, and I want you to love on him, and I want you to extend mercy to him so that way he can see. And it's interesting because as you continue on in this story, as you hear about Ananias, who was a follower of Jesus, he himself had received this grace from Jesus. Jesus is essentially giving Ananias this assignment. He's pretty much saying this, hey, Ananias, I want you to build a bridge for Saul to come experience me. I want you to build a bridge for Saul's life to be changed. And this is Jesus' desire for all of us. This is Jesus' desire for our church, that we would be bridge builders for people to experience life change. That our church literally is named for this very reason. If you ever wanted to know, like, what's the whole purpose of, like, calling our church the Bridge Church? Well, number one, because Jesus is the bridge. And he bridges the gap that exists between God and humanity because of the sin of humanity. And so what Jesus does, in one hand, he has the hand of God, and in the other hand, he has the hand of mankind, and he now becomes the bridge so that way mankind can come to God. He's the bridge. But not only is he the bridge, but he also calls us to be bridge builders. That's why Paul says later on in Scripture that we are ambassadors of Christ. That we are called to be people who help to bridge the gap in people's lives for them to be able to come to experience the power of Jesus. And here's a few things that we learn from this passage about what it means to be a bridge builder for Jesus. What it means to be somebody who is used by Jesus to bring forth life change in somebody else. Number one, it's an act of obedience. And I need us to understand this today because it's easy to kind of think like, oh man, it's optional whether or not Jesus wants me to use my life to change other people's lives. It is not. It is a command. Building a bridge is an act of obedience. Notice what happens in verses 13 through 17. It says, Ananias, Jesus gives him this command back in verse 11. He says, get up, go to the street called Straight to the house of Judas and ask for a man. By the way, that's a weird name to call the street. Go to the street called Straight. Who names the street called Straight? Maybe it's symbolic, a metaphorical representation of how Jesus wanted to use Ananias to get Saul on the straight and narrow path. Maybe that's what Jesus wants to do with you. I believe it is. But notice what it says next in the next verse. Verse 12, it says, in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight. Here's where it gets tight. Here's where it gets tense. Lord, Ananias replied, I've heard from many people about this man. He says, I've heard how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Then in verse 14, he says, and he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. You know what Ananias is saying? Lord, are you sure you got the right one? Like, listen, Jesus, I know you are all-knowing. You are omniscient. You have all knowledge. But I think you might have missed this one, bro. Because we can't be talking about the same guy. The same God that goes and arrests Christians, the same God that's going and terrorizing churches, the same God who's giving the execution order for Christians to be beheaded for their faith. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? The same God who's responsible for my other Christian brothers and sisters losing family members. The same God who is taking sides with the Roman oppression. Are you serious? This can't be right. Lord, you cannot be serious. He has authority to lock every single Christian up in this first century context. Are you serious? Are you serious, Lord? Are you sure? Ananias has some questions and some concerns. The comment button is going crazy right now in heaven in this conversation with Ananias and Jesus. He says, hold on, man. Like, listen, man. Look, I know you are all loving. I know. But this dude right here, I'm not so sure about him. I know you are the God of a second chance. But him, he need more. There ain't enough chances to go around for him. And I wonder how many times do we live our lives almost raising the same question. I wonder if we live our lives in such of a way where we look at the things that people have done and we say, I don't know about you. You might be a little too dirty for Jesus. I wonder if we live our lives in such of a way where we're not building bridges, but we're actually building walls. Because we're, in our minds, we are believing the lies of the enemy rather than believing the truth of what God says about people. That we're believing the lies of the enemy. You, man, they're a liar. They're a cheater. They are no good. God does not have anything in store for them. But the truth of the matter is God does. That every single person is worth something to Jesus. That every single person has a purpose from God. That every single purpose has been created in the likeness and the image of God. And Ananias is wrestling with this thing. And now he has to make the choice of whether or not he's going to follow through in what Jesus has said, whether or not he's going to build a bridge or whether or not he's going to build a wall. And every day, you and I are faced with that very decision of whether or not we will build a bridge for somebody to experience life change by Jesus or build a wall. Every day, we have to wrestle with this. This is the tension that we deal with. This is the tension that we wrestle with. Now, it's easy to kind of look at this and like, oh, Ananias, you tripping. But do you do the same thing with people on your job? No, I'm not inviting you to church at all. I see you enough, and you are jacked up. Nope. There is no salvation for you. It's going to take a miracle from heaven to save your soul. Well, hold on. Wasn't it a miracle from heaven that saved yours? The text doesn't tell us this, but I wonder if Ananias was, I wonder if God was beginning to give some flashbacks to Ananias. Hold on, Ananias. You remember where you were? Don't get it twisted, Ananias. You want this Jesus-loving dude for your whole entire life. Do we need to go back down memory lane, Ananias? Do you remember where you were when I found you? I wonder if that's what happened. I wonder if those were some of the thoughts that Ananias was thinking. Here's the question I want to ask us. Will we get in the way of what Jesus wants to do in other people's lives, or will we be an active participant in what he wants to do in their lives? Will we get in the way? Will we respond with obedience? Will we obey what God has called us to be? And that's not just in this area of life, but maybe there are some areas in your life right now where God is calling you to obey. And you have yet to do so. And you have yet to see change take place in your life. You know what? Change is on the other side of your obedience step. Obedience. That's what God is calling us to do, that when it comes to building bridges for people to experience the power of God, we can't be hesitant and we can't waver back and forth as to whether or not we're going to do it. Why? Because as followers of Jesus, God has given us a command to go reach people. We talk about this all the time in my church because we are a church that is focused on reaching people for Jesus. So in Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus gives his disciples before he leaves planet earth to go back to heaven, to be seated at the right hand of the Father. He says, go make disciples of all nations. Go. He says, go get them, go reach them. And he doesn't just stop there. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the other parts of the earth. Jesus is saying, this is my command. This is what I'm calling you to do. Notice that Jesus doesn't just give Ananias this command once. He says it twice. In verse 11, he says, go to Tarsus. Ananias kind of raises a question. He's like, hold on, you sure? Jesus responds back in verse 15, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. As followers of Jesus, you don't get to pick and choose who you share Jesus with. We don't get to pick and choose who we want to be used by God to bring forth life change to. Let me say it like this. It's going to make you real uncomfortable. If Donald Trump was to walk in here right now, some of us would be like, what would you do? I would say, welcome home. It's real quiet now, huh? Because oftentimes we like to put a premium on the gospel as if the gospel is only for a certain segment of people. When Jesus came, and last time I checked, died for all people. That if Jesus can save somebody like the Apostle Paul, he can surely do that for anybody else. That we don't put walls up and say, you can't come to church if you do this. You can't come here. You can't be a part. If you can't be a part of our Christian club if you don't do this, do that, do this. Thank God that Jesus didn't say that for us. Matter of fact, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2. It says that Jesus tore down the dividing wall of hostility that existed between you and God because of your sin. He was the bridge. It's an act of obedience. So we don't pick and choose who we share Jesus with. We don't pick and choose who we build bridges for people to come to know Jesus. No, Jesus has called us, just like he called Ananias as the local church, to be people who build bridges, and he calls us to respond with obedience. Building a bridge is an act of obedience. It's not an option. But also, building a bridge is an act of grace. And I love what verse 17 says. Notice here, it says that Ananias, after he has this conversation with Jesus, notice what it says, verse 17, Ananias went and entered the house. So he obeys. He follows through. He does exactly what Jesus has called him to do. He's worked through maybe some of the prejudices that he's had. He's worked through some of the lies maybe that he's believed about Saul. He's worked through all that stuff, and he responds with simple obedience in verse 17. But then it doesn't stop there. Look at the second part of verse 17. It says this, he placed his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Notice here that Ananias says to Saul, "Brother Saul." Brother. Hold on, bro. This is heavy. This is the same dude that has arrested people that you know, and yet you calling him brother. Yet you are laying hands on him. The spiritual sense, not knocking him out because of what he's done. Y'all know what I'm talking about, man. Y'all been at work, you've been at home, say, "I'm about to lay hands on all y'all." Not in Jesus' name either. No. He goes to Saul and he says, "Brother Saul, Jesus has sent me here for you. This is an act of grace. Do you know that Ananias could have just easily folded his arms and say, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying put." The mere fact that Ananias goes on behalf of Jesus is an act of grace. It is him saying, "Saul, in spite of what you have done, Jesus still loves you. He accepts you for who you are, and so do I." That is an act of grace. And not only does he call him Brother Saul, which shows that he's accepting him for who he is, the Bible says that he lays hands on him and he says to him, "Jesus has sent me here to help you recover your sight because you have been blind, not just physically, but also spiritually. You've been blind to the truth your whole life. You didn't believe that Jesus was the Lord and Messiah and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but today I'm here to show you that he is. I'm here to point you to Jesus." Notice here that he is not allowing Paul's or Saul's history to get in the way of him building a bridge. And I believe that sometimes in the church we can get so caught up and so hung up with people's dysfunction and with people's mess that it gets in the way, that we allow it to get in the way of us building bridges. I've told people plenty of times, I don't care if people come to our church high, smelling like alcohol, Jack Daniels, you are here, which means if you are here, life change can take place. Because the church is not a museum, it is a hospital. It is filled with broken people. And if you came here like, "Man, there's a lot of jacked up people," you know what? You here too. You are part of that. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if Jesus is loving enough to extend his arms of grace to us, we are to be the same and extend our arms of grace to other people. It is an act of grace that Jesus sends Ananias. He says, "Jesus has sent me here." It is reminiscent of God the Father sending Jesus on our behalf, in spite of who we were. Here's what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God proves his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Which means that God was not holding your sins against you. He was holding them against Jesus. That Jesus came to take upon himself your sins. He came to take upon himself your uncleanliness, your ungodliness, so that way you could take upon yourself his righteousness. That's why Jesus came. It was an act of grace that Jesus came to earth. It was an act of grace that Jesus sent Ananias to Saul. It is an act of grace when you build a bridge for other people to come to know Jesus. Well, we're not going to our jobs and we're not looking down our noses on people saying, "You too dirty for me. No, I can't touch you. You are unclean in Jesus' name." You know how we can get sometimes being super spiritual? We try to say that, You know, Jesus will forgive you of that sin, but what you did right there, I don't know about that one. You might need pastor to pray for you on that one. Yes. No. Jesus, the true and faithful high priest, covers all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our brokenness. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter what you have done in your past. Saul was a murderer, and yet Jesus saved his soul because of his grace, because of his love, because of his mercy. He can do the same thing for you, and he wants to do the same thing through you for other people. That's what he wants to do. It is an act of grace. That when we build bridges for people to come to know Jesus, it is an act of grace. And the temptation that we have to fight against is to hold people's sins up in the air. To make a big deal about people's sin. Don't get me wrong. Sin is a big deal. That's why Jesus came to die. But Jesus came to die so that way people can be forgiven. So we can't go parading around and throwing people's sin and shame in their face, because there's only one other person who does that, and his name is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. When you go accusing people of all the sin and the shame that they have done, you are falling more in line with the father of lies than the father of grace. When we begin to extend grace, when we begin to extend hope, we just sang this amazing song about how God is a good, good father. Yes, he is. He loves us not because of us. He loves us because of who he is, because he is love. God is love. He is faithful. He is merciful. And because of that, we receive that. And now we extend that to others by building bridges. That our church is always going to be a safe haven for people to come and say, you know what, it's okay for me not to be okay. That you don't have to clean yourself up before you come to Jesus. That you can come to Jesus stanky, messed up, jacked up, toe up, from the flow up, ugly history, crazy things. It doesn't matter. You cannot out-sin God's love for you. There is nothing that you could ever do that would eclipse the love that Jesus has for you. And neither is there anything that anyone else can do. So we go and we build bridges. We don't put a premium on the gospel. We don't marginalize his mercy. In other words, I don't have to agree with your practices to still tell you about Jesus. I don't have to agree with all the things that you've done. You've maybe done some things that I don't agree with. I've maybe done some things that you didn't agree with, but nonetheless, that has nothing to do with whether or not we will build bridges. We build bridges because of the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus, and because people need to be changed. And I believe that if we as a church and as the body of Christ, if we will begin to preach more about what Jesus has done and focus less on what people have done, our churches would overflow. Because people are looking for freedom. People are looking to be set free. People are looking to be changed. People are longing for liberty. People are longing to have those chains of bondage loosed in their life. I love what Pastor Andy Stanley says. He says, Christians walk toward messy situations, not away from them. They walk towards them. So in other words, we walk towards people in their dysfunction. We walk towards people in their mess. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for us. He came from heaven to us. He met us in the middle of our mess. As a matter of fact, Saul would testify to that. In the middle of his mess, Jesus met him. That is what he calls us to do, to be people who build bridges, to be people who point people to Jesus, to be people who say, I'm not going to let anything get in the way of you coming to know Christ. And even as a church, we would not do anything that will get in the way of people coming to church. If you've ever wanted to know why we're always so relaxed, even with our dress, and why we sing the songs that we sing, and why we have the feel that we have, it's because we want to make it easy for people to come to know Jesus. That we're not going to be fixated on all these different rules and all these different traditions that get in the way of people to come to know Jesus. No. We build bridges, not walls. We build bridges so people can come to know Christ. We build bridges so that way people can experience the transformation of Jesus. Ananias, he lays his hands on Saul, and he says, Saul, Jesus has sent me here to proclaim sight to you, to help you restore sight. That was another act of grace. Why? Because Jesus in Luke chapter 4 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has sent me to preach good news to the poor and to restore sight to the blind. And one of the things that you got to understand is when Jesus would restore sight to the blind, he would oftentimes, all throughout his earthly ministry, lay hands on people. That was an act of grace. You building a bridge is an act of grace. Jesus has sent you to help people recover sight. Jesus has sent you on your job. Some of y'all have been praying, Jesus, would you remove me from my job? You've been praying that prayer for years, trying to figure out, why have you not done it? Do you not love me? He says, I do, and I love some people there, which is why I still have you there. I just messed up some of y'all prayer life right there. I just gave you the answer as to why you're still there. Why hasn't the promotion come yet? Because there's still some people that I need you to reach. You thought it was about collecting a check? I could send you a check in the mail if it was that serious. It's not about that. It's about people who need to be changed right where you are. It's about you being an ambassador on your job. It's about you being a pastor on your job, in your family, in your neighborhood. That's why I sent you there. To be salt and light. To build a bridge. Stop trying to build a wall. Stop hiding in your cubicle, having your Christian music up, and nobody being allowed to come in your little Christian bubble. These people crazy. Let me turn on my Chris Tomlin. Let me turn on my Todd Trippett. Let me turn on my Kirk Franklin. These people are crazy here. No. Go build a bridge. I'm praying for them. They need Jesus. That's why he's put you there. Build a bridge. Get off your high horse. Stop being arrogant. Stop being proud. Remember how jacked up you were before Jesus came and got your soul. Thank God that he didn't look his nose down on you and say, you too dirty for me. No, he came down and got dirty with you to make you clean. He calls you to do the same for other people. To build a bridge. Somebody say, build a bridge. That's what he's called us to do as a church, that we build bridges. We're intentional with extending grace. Why? Because we extend grace to others because God has extended grace to us. That is what we do. And here's what happens, that when we are obedient to him and when we're extending grace, here's what happens. Building bridges now becomes an agent of transformation. It is the very thing that Jesus uses to bring forth change. Notice what happens in verse 18 through 22. It says, at once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. But it doesn't stop there. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. And immediately, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were astounded and said, isn't this the man in Jerusalem who was casting down, causing havoc for those who call on this name and came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priests? But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. This dude named Saul was transformed, and he was no longer known as Saul. He is now known as the Apostle Paul, the guy who penned almost half of the New Testament, the guy who planted churches here and churches there, the guy who wrote books like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, who says, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. Why is he able to write this? Because he experienced it himself. Why? Why was he able to write with so much passion about the grace of God? Because God sent the man named Ananias to extend grace to him. Matter of fact, don't believe my words. Believe what Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 16. This is what Paul says. I give thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. Watch what he says. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, meaning he did not believe in Jesus, I was a persecutor, I was an arrogant man. But I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, watch what he says, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who will believe in him for eternal life. You know what Paul is saying? I was messed up. I was jacked up. I was a liar. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was totally against Jesus. But then in God's grace and in God's mercy, he found me. He got me. He used an Ananias to build a bridge for me to come to know Jesus. And now through me, he's going to build another bridge so other people can come to know Jesus. Paul was now changed. And now he's now an agent of change and transformation. When you build a bridge, that is the very thing that God uses to bring forth transformation in the lives of people. That is the very thing that God uses. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, and see, the new has come. Why is this so important? Because when we tell people about what Jesus has done for them, rather than the sin that they have committed, they can experience a life change. They are no longer who they used to be. And if you came in here today thinking that God does not love you, I'm here to tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because if you are in Christ, you are a new creature, and he wants to use you to build a bridge so that other people can be transformed, so that other people can be made new, so that other people can come to know Christ in a new way. He wants you to build a bridge. He wants you to be intentional with sharing your faith, with extending grace, so that way people can say, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And for the rest of my days, I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to be somebody who builds a bridge. Our church, the Bridge Church, church family, we will be a church that builds bridges for people to come to Christ. We will always be a place for the brokenhearted. We will always be the place for the vulnerable. We will always be a place for those who feel lost. We will always be the place for people wrestling with their sexuality. We will always be the place who is not casting stones, not judging, not condemning. We will be a community of grace. Why? Because we serve and we are in relationship with the God of all grace. We will always be that. And if you are looking for the church that's going to condemn people and throw shade at people, this is not the church for you. Goodbye. But if you want to be a part of a grace-filled community that extends grace to people, that says, man, I used to be the same way and God extended his grace to me, I want to be a part of him extending that grace to others through my life. Welcome home. If you came here this morning like, man, I've been to so many different churches and I heard about how the pastor didn't like me and I heard all this preaching that was just telling me how much of a mess up and a screw up I was and how much I've sinned and how much I've lied and how much God does not love me, let me tell you something. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to be the bridge to reconciliation, to restoration, to renewal, so that way you could become who he's called you to be. That's the gospel. And that's what our church is standing on. And we will always be a church that builds bridges, not walls. We will be people who build bridges for people to come to know Jesus. We are a grace-filled community of people who extend grace to people who say, in spite of what I've done, I got a church family that I can go to and confess my sins and my shortcomings to. That people won't look at me side-eyed. That people won't cast stones. That people won't throw shade at me. No, no, no. I have a people who care about me. I have a people who love me. Because that is what Jesus has done. That church family, we will be people who build bridges. We will be people like Ananias that say, I'm going to go and I'm going to lay hands on all the areas of brokenness in my community so that way people can come to know Jesus. That I want people in our community to know, man, the Bridge Church, man, that is a grace-filled and loving church. They are people who love hard. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that we condone sin. That's not what I'm saying. You will never see Jesus, when he extends grace, excuse sin. He deals with it, but he deals with it through the lens of grace. Where he says, hey, I know what you've done, but in spite of that, I'm coming to you and I want you to come to me. That's what our church is going to be about. I want our church to be a church that's like a breath of fresh air for people. That when people come here, they just feel something different. That when people come to our connect groups, they feel something different. That when people are hanging out with one another, they feel something different. That they're saying, man, I've been praying, I've been weeping, I've been longing for a community like this, and I didn't find it until now, and I'm grateful that I did. We will be a church that builds bridges, not walls. We will be a church that brings forth transformation in people's lives. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's the question I want to ask you today. Are you building bridges for people to come to know Jesus, or are you building walls? Are you building a bridge so that way people's lives can be transformed, or are you building a wall? Because today Jesus says, I want you to build a bridge. I want you to build a bridge. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I never knew how much Jesus loved me until this moment right here. I thought he would just cast me to the side because I've done some grimy things. I've done some terrible things. I've done some things I haven't even told people about, and I didn't think Jesus would ever love me. But I know now today, no, he loves me in spite of who I am. He loves me in spite of what I've done. And today, I want this Jesus that you talk about. And if that's you this morning, and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to say yes to Jesus this morning, here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up. No eyes are open. All heads are bowed. So it's just between you and God. It's a personal moment between you and the Father right now. But I want you to say yes to Jesus. You feel him tugging on your heart. You feel him pulling on your heart. Say yes to Jesus this morning. His grace is abundant. His mercies are everlasting. Doesn't matter what you've ever done. It's all about what Jesus has done for you. Before you could be a bridge builder, you got to come in contact with the bridge of life. His name is Jesus. So on the count of three, if this is you, you're saying, today I want a new beginning. Today I want a fresh start. Today I want a breath of fresh air, man. I don't want to walk in guilt and shame and sin anymore. Today I want to walk in freedom. If that's your heart's desire.